This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard. Our guest dives into the world of the scientists out to preserve the stories of history before they vanish. People maybe a little bit like Indiana Jones.
I came here to save you.
Oh, yeah? And who's going to come to save you, Junior?
I told you.
Don't call me Junior.
Harrison Ford there as the iconic Indiana Jones. Marilyn Johnson joins us now. She's a journalist and the author of the new book, Lives in Ruins, Archaeologists and the Seductive Lure of Human Rubble. Marilyn, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
To the people who do it, you say archaeology is seductive. These people sift through rubble, human remains, debris, often for careers that are not so solid. What is it that draws archaeologists to do it?
I think curiosity is the main driving force. They are driven by curiosity about what lies hidden, what kind of unfiltered history is buried underground or under the oceans.
Now, most people think of Indiana Jones when they think of archaeology, and it turns out he has actually inspired a great number of present-day archaeologists. But how much do the people out there doing the rough field work resemble that character?
Well, they walk like him. Many of them have hats like him, and in no other way do they resemble him. They don't do archaeology the way he did it, and they shouldn't do archaeology the way he did it. He would just grab the gold and run. They're not interested in the gold for the most part, and they certainly don't run. They're on their knees around a hole with little tools, brushing very carefully and keeping everything quite intact.
Now, you got your field training for archaeology on a Caribbean island. What was your first taste of archaeological fieldwork like?
It was like having bugs crawl over me and being afraid that the undergrowth was going to swallow me up. It was unbelievably hot and uncomfortable. I had tons of sunscreen on and long sleeves, and I was really dressed to be attacked by the tropics. And instead, I found what other people have told me about the experience of archaeology. You don't notice all those intensely uncomfortable things. It is, you lose yourself in that search.
It's an interesting journey for you. You did this actual fieldwork. You were also, I was interested to read, here in Wisconsin, trying to see if you could figure out where ancient effigy mounds were, and it wasn't so easy, you found out.
I had this wonderful book called Spirits of Earth, The Effigy Mound Landscape of Madison and the Four Lakes. And it just got me very excited, and I thought, well, the mounds, you know, this is one thing that I have not seen, and here it is at my fingertips. So I went out looking for mounds, and I had the guidebook in my hand. I was looking at the sign, and I could not see them. They're made out of dirt. You know, when they're covered with leaves, they look just like a mound of dirt. So it takes, some of these archaeological features are very subtle, and it takes someone with an archaeologist's eye to recognize that they were created landscapes, landscapes created by ancient people.
And someone told you once that once you really train your eye, you see the arrow points everywhere. You start to see things and other people don't. Did you ever get to that point?
I'm hapless. I'm sorry. I never really did get to that point. But I do notice a lot more than I used to. And I'm quite fascinated by people who look at the landscape and see not just what's there, but can imagine what it was like 10,000 years earlier, who can imagine what previous uses there might have been for that patch of land. I'm a collector of archaeologists, not an archaeologist myself, and I give the people who put those sharp tools in my hands a lot of credit.
It wasn't always that easy for you to forge connections with these archaeologists. They're gone a lot, they're out in places where you can't reach them, and they tend to be a little secretive, it turns out, about what it is they're working on in their sites. And one person you did work with was a Dr. Connolly. Can you tell us about her?
Yes, she's the most glamorous archaeologist that I came across. She has a screensaver on her computer that shows someone digging into the earth as if in an initial dig in archaeology. but the archaeologist has a high heel on. So it's like, it's a great message that she puts forth. She's been digging on an island in the Mediterranean for over 20 years. It is an island that has no natural water source. It's like a raised tablet about 3 football fields long, very arid, and full of all kinds of archaeology, including from the first century B.C. and the time of Cleopatra. And she's connected the Temple of Apollo that they have dug up on that island with Cleopatra's administration.
Wow. So what was it like being there, working on something, you know, watching her work on something so ancient?
Different insects. A very harsh sun. Not quite as humid as the Caribbean. It was like kneeling. I had to wear a bandana over my face because there was so much dust in the air. And I was working with students, undergraduates, who were very interested in archaeology and who were so much better than I was. It was sort of sad. I was always lagging behind them. And I did the, you know, terrible crime of actually breaking a piece of pottery as I was trying to dig it up. Mm. They forgave me, though.
Well, one of the surprising things, it turned out, was that the Department of Defense is a big stakeholder in preserving the cultural remains of war. How big is their role?
Well, it's huge, actually, and it's not just the Department of Defense, including all the military installations in the United States, the federal parks, and all kinds of federal institutions have laws in place where they are not just concerned that anything new that is built on that area doesn't disturb archaeology, doesn't disturb our archaeological heritage, but they actually want archaeologists in place with a plan for how we can preserve the cultural heritage of that area. So there is a group of archaeologists that I met who are in place at Fort Drum, New York, and who are in charge of the archaeology of the whole area and don't just save Indian ruins here and remnants of the 1930s barracks there. They also are trying to train soldiers to be culturally sensitive when they go to, for instance, the old world of Iraq. Train them so they can recognize indications of archaeological sites.
Now, briefly, Marilyn, having lived and worked alongside archaeologists for a while, how has that changed the way that you perceive time and the people who came before us?
Well, I didn't quite realize how much we don't know. I had no idea. I read a history book and I get the sense that, you know, this or that might have been contested, but it seems pretty much written in stone. And when you start working with archaeologists who are picking up fragments of the historic puzzle, many of which they have absolutely no idea what they are for or how a particular structure got built or why it was built, you come to realize that the past is really a sort of wilderness. It's a very adventurous place to be right now. And the headlines show that. You read in the headlines about the future of medicine and the future of space and, oh my goodness, we just put something on a comet. But really, there's a lot of news about the past and how we learn to interpret it in a different way.
Marilyn, thank you so much for joining us.
It was a pleasure.
That was Marilyn Johnson, the author of Lives in Ruins, Archaeologists and the Seductive Lure of Human Rubble. I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.